no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 27th day of November. Welcome, everyone, and happy, heartily Thanksgiving to each of you who celebrate this day. A big feast, family, friends. It's a day of giving thanks. I hope that it goes beyond a day and it's a posture of our heart as we give thanks and gratitude to God, to those that have made a difference in our lives. And I'm grateful, truly grateful for each and every single one of you. We're going to jump into the reading today. Today we are reading 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 through 5 and then 2 Thessalonians 1 through 3. Today we're reading the Christian Standard Bible, 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. We recall, in the presence of our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance. You know how we lived among you for your benefit, and you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord when, in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. As a result, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, for the word of the Lord rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. Therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. For you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. For our exhortation didn't come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please people, but rather God who examines our hearts. For we never used flattering speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness. And we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead, we were gentle among you as a nurse nurtures her own children. We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers and sisters. Working night and day so that we could not burden any of you, we preached God's gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you believers. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us. They displease God and are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. As a result, they are constantly filling up their sins to the limit, and wrath has overtaken them at last. But as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you for a short time, in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return and see you face to face. So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it was better to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith, so that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we were going to experience affliction, and as you know, it happened. For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He reported that you always have good memories of us, and that you long to see us as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we were encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live, if you stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experience before our God because of you, as we pray very earnestly night and day to see you face to face and to complete what is lacking in your faith? Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. Additionally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us on how you should live and please God as you are doing, do this even more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who don't know God. This means one must not transgress against and take advantage of a brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses, as we also previously told and warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but to live in holiness. Consequently, anyone who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. About brotherly love, you don't need me to write you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. In fact, you are doing this toward all the brothers and sisters in the entire region of Macedonia. But we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do this even more, to seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you may behave properly in the presence of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. About the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they said peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us also. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this letter be read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 2 Thessalonians, chapters 1 through 3. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, since your faith is flourishing and the love each one of you has for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you among God's churches, about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and afflictions that you are enduring. It is clear evidence of God's righteous judgment that you will be counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you also are suffering, since it is just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted along with us. This will take place at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his powerful angels, when he takes vengeance with flaming fire on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will pay the penalty of eternal destruction from the Lord's presence and from his glorious strength on that day when he comes to be glorified by his saints and to be marveled at by all those who have believed, because our testimony among you was believed. In view of this, we always pray for you that our God will make you worthy of his calling and by his power fulfill your every desire to do good and your work produced by faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified by you and you by him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily upset or troubled, either by a prophecy or by a message or by a letter supposedly from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he sits in God's temple proclaiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that when I was still with you, I used to tell you about this? And you know what currently restrains him so that he will be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but the one now restraining will do so until he is out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. The Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth and will bring him to nothing at the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is based on Satan's working with every kind of miracle, both signs and wonders serving the lie, and with every wicked deception among those who are perishing. They perish because they did not accept the love of the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie, so that all will be condemned, those who did not believe the truth but delighted in unrighteousness. But we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by what we said or what we wrote. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. In addition, brothers and sisters, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to God's love and Christ's endurance. Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister who is idle and does not live according to the tradition received from us. For you yourselves know how you should imitate us. We were not idle among you. We did not eat anyone's food free of charge. Instead, we labored and toiled, working day and night, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. It is not that we don't have the right to support, but we did it to make ourselves an example to you, so that you would imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. For we hear that there are some among you who are idle. They are not busy, but busybodies. Now we command and exhort such people by the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and provide for themselves. But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take note of that person. Don't associate with him so that he may be ashamed. Yet don't consider him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, I'm writing this greeting with my own hand, which is an authenticating mark in every letter. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Okay, so these are the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. These are the letters Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, or Thessaloniki, as they said in Greece. So, if you remember on our pilgrimage that Brian and I and Ezekiel just attended, we talked about how the context of these letters and what was happening in these churches in these regions mattered. And they still matter today when we read this. Does that mean it's not relative to us today? No, it means that there were churches that were first being formed, just as in the Old Testament, a people group called the Israelites were being formed. God's chosen people, a people to be set apart, not superior, but set apart. It required much from them to receive much. This is not a different message or theme. To whom much is given, much is required. But this is also contextually some of the first churches being formed, communities. And as we have read in Acts and Galatians, churches are being formed, leaders are leading and still participating in very sinful lives and activities. Now, we like to frame certain sins above each other. We like to categorically make whatever one that we're not either admitting or actively participating in worse than the ones that we are, maybe to feel better about ourselves. Maybe it makes us feel good to know that we sin differently than other people. And so we like to categorize it and make theirs worse. So when we read these, we jump to certain societal, and when I say societal, I say Christian culture, Christian society. We like to adapt to the culture, the popular culture. And please understand that that popular culture, the percentage of people that do not read the Bible in that particular culture is so high, it's astounding. Not only do they not read the Bible, they have never read the Bible. So they have adapted scriptures out of context to use it to prove a point, to disregard the scriptures that would apply to us, our own selves, and we make it applicable to everyone else who sins differently than us. So we may hear one of the sins that Paul calls out that he's addressing to this church, this people, this culture, and we run with it. And we disregard the nine others and make them abhorrently disproportionate to the one that we jump on that bandwagon and drive it, ride it into the ground. So we have to understand contextually what is happening that Paul is talking about. Otherwise, we do things such as I have witnessed by quoting scripture and disassociating even family members from our own lives. And we do so maybe even reluctantly because that's what leadership teaches, preaches, demands. But they are contextually pulling verses without the context. And I know this can be a lot. Paul can get very heady. It's been debated for centuries theologically. The interpretation, the nuances, the differences, and it's all based on interpretation and understanding. But as we read these letters to the churches, please let's understand that this was discipleship in the day. This was Paul who founded some of these churches and who led some of these churches, who is addressing the issues within the churches with the leaders who just do not know better. So the words can be harsh at times. The commands can be very direct and very black and white, but let's understand that this is a form of correction, what needed to be corrected in the very first churches after Jesus that are planted. And you can lead by words or you can lead by actions. And when those two things do not match, which is most of us, it's called hypocrisy. And hypocrisy does not work to the unbeliever who is watching us and listening to us and hearing us and going, wait a minute, you're doing opposite of what you're saying. These are the things that Paul is addressing so that when these communities and churches are formed, they can be corrected immediately. The actions can align with the words, and all those things can align with our heart. We have to fix the issues of the heart, the soil. Sometimes it's not the plant. Sometimes it's the soil. Oftentimes it's the soil. And so we hear this today. We hear the encouragement. Keep loving one another. You're doing that well. Keep doing it. And if we don't hear anything else today being read, can this be the message that we hear? The new covenant of Jesus. Not to abolish the law of the old covenant, the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, but the new law. Jesus said, you heard it said, but I tell you, this new covenant I give you, love one another. To love someone is not to show weakness. It is not loving someone straight to hell. We're not capable of that. It is loving people with the love of Jesus that Jesus commanded us. And this message was for the broken and the marginalized and the poor and the brokenhearted. And yet Jesus even said, love your enemies. And that would have been the religious leaders that ultimately crucified him. Real easy to say. I say it as if I've got it mastered. I do not. Real easy to say, so hard to do. And yet he modeled it for us. Paul is encouraging the church. You're doing it well. Keep doing it. I encourage us as the body of believers of Christ. Love one another. This is how Jesus said, they will know we are his, by the love that we show for one another. He didn't leave anybody out of that exception. Love your neighbor. Jesus didn't talk about specific sinners and the specific sin that they're engaged in. He didn't say love everyone except for love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies and those that persecute you. This includes everyone. And if you hear this and you still resist it, if these words offend you, the words of Jesus offend you so much that you disagree and you want to just leave this space, I challenge you to define your definition of love. What has been modeled to you? How do you define it? How do you see it? Because how you see it, how you define it, is how you will live it out. And we all could sit with that thought and evaluate our own definition of how love has been shown to us and how we are reciprocating love. Jesus, Father, help us. Help us to love the way that you love us. Help us to be able to show love that would allow people to know that we are yours. We love you because you first loved us. You loved us before we got it together, before we repented, before we came into your presence. You loved us. May we love others before we exclude them, before we even know their sin, before we know their name. May we show them the love that you have offered us. And may we reciprocate that love. We give thanks and praise on this day for who you are, for what you've done, and for that which you have not done, because you know us, you love us, and you know us better by giving us what we don't need, just as much as you give us what we need. I give thanks for every person here today, every person, every member of this community, every person that does not believe in you yet, that is still here. God, I bless them. I pray that you reveal yourself to them in a very real way. I love you and I worship you. Forgive me, God, where I have failed in every one of these areas that I talk about so easily and lack in my actions. Holy Spirit, guide me, guide us into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wish you each and everyone a very beautiful Thanksgiving day. Thanksgiving season, and a season in our heart. May we not just stop at a day, but may we grow it into a season of thanksgiving and gratitude. I love you each and everyone. Until tomorrow, love one another.